Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
What's up? This is the Talking the Star podcast. I'm your host, Connor Livesey. You can find me on Twitter at ConnorNFLDraft. Tonight, I'm here with my co-host, Cole Patterson. You can find him on Twitter at Cole L. Patterson. And my other co-host, Dalton Miller. You can find him on Twitter at Cowboys underscore DBM. What's up today, guys?
What's up? How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, man. We're Victory Wednesday. That's what it's all about today. Victory Wednesday.
Yes,
Dalton,
sir.
You there? You hanging around with us?
Yeah, I'm around.
That didn't sound very exciting.
Man, I'm here, man. I'm busy, man. I got a lot going on. Lots happened in the last couple weeks here.
Okay.
But I'm just trying to get by.
I hear that. So let's dive in. The Cowboys defeated the Detroit Lions 26-24 at AT&T Stadium. It was what I would consider a very good football game if you were at it. Cough, cough, Dalton Miller. So, you know, you attended a good game, and that is something that a lot of people, you know, can't say, and I want to talk about it. Cowboys offense was much better, I thought, in my opinion, coming into this game. You know, there was a lot of concerns around the quarterback, there's a lot of concerns around the offensive line, the receivers, even a little bit about the running back. But they came in and they played much better. Dak Prescott finished the game 17 for 27, 255, two touchdowns. If he didn't get over 200 yards this week, I just feel like, you know, Cowboys Nation was going to explode. So I'm so glad he got over the 200-yard mark. He actually, there's some yards left on the field by some drops. So I thought even his, I thought he played better than his stat line suggested. But the player of the game, you know, is, the way we can say it is Ezekiel Elliott. He had 25 carries, 152 yards, 6.1 yards per carry. He had a receiving touchdown. He just did so much with the 25 carries. He caught four balls for 88 yards and the touchdown. So he did so much in that game to just push that offense along. The offensive line, I thought, needs to get more credit. You know, we've talked about Ezekiel Elliott, we've talked about Dak Prescott's improvement, but I thought the offensive line was excellent. There was only a couple plays throughout that whole game where they had made a mistake or missed a block, and it resulted in a negative play, and that's something that we've seen far too often. So I wanted to ask you guys, starting with Dalton, what group were you most impressed with? Was it the quarterback? Was it the running back? Was it the receivers? Was it the offensive line on offense? Who were you most impressed with?
So I was most impressed with Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, even through like the first couple weeks, yes, he was leading the NFL in rushing, and he had looked okay, but he didn't look like that top, you know, somebody who can battle for the top spot as a running back in the National Football League. And obviously, if we're looking at it from a fantasy perspective, he isn't at the top. That would be Alvin Kamara. But if we're looking at, you know,
and Todd Gurley, but
and well, yeah, Todd. I don't know what their fantasy.
I mean, they're one A, one B.
Yeah, but with Zeke, I think that it's hard to imagine a more valuable running back than Ezekiel Elliott is to this football team, because without him on Sunday, this game doesn't get won. And I think that now that we've seen that wrinkle that happened at the end of the game, where they finally got a matchup that they want. They waited for 4 weeks to actually use Zeke the way that I believe they're going to more. Because even before that play, they had him split out wide, in five wide quite a bit, and just had him run 5 yard outs. So there is no way that Jerod Davis was actually expecting him to go vertical on him. No idea. And you kind of tell that in the all 22. He was kind of flat footed as Zeke was starting to approach him, and just never got his hips flipped around and got running with him. Because, I mean, we all know Jerod Davis is not an unathletic linebacker, and Zeke went right by him. He had no clue. And the way that Zeke ran, I mean, getting the dirty yards. And the biggest thing that I saw with him this past week was his patience. It was phenomenal. And he looked more explosive. So I was really, really happy with that. And if he can keep that kind of performance going forward, I really think that this offense could look the exact same way it has recently, or this past game.
Yeah, Cole, I wanted to throw it over to you now. You know, we touched on the running back. Obviously, we know how good Zeke was in this game, but is there another position group that really impressed you this week?
Yeah, like Dalton said, he pretty much covered Zeke. I mean, you just kind of words to describe just how important, just how great his performance was on Sunday. I was impressed with Dak. Just seeing what he did out there, seeing him get his confidence back. He was willing to throw the ball down the field. He was willing to hit the open receiver. There's some plays he missed, there's some plays his receivers missed, but all in all, it was just nice to see him throw the ball down the field, him move the ball, and him play with confidence, him play like he was having fun. We haven't really seen that too much this season, really going back until really the Chiefs game last year before Zeke had to serve suspension. So it was great to see that. He completed just under 63% of his passes. He like you mentioned, he finally threw over 200 yards. He got to 255. He really could have had that touchdown to Tavon. So, he could have had an even better day if you add that. It was just, if Dak can play like that every week, something in that range, there's no telling how good this team can be.
Yeah, and I thought the thing that stood out the most from him is we've been talking about his accuracy over the last couple weeks. And I thought he was extremely accurate that game. You know, obviously he had a few times where, and again, I didn't even see a lot of times this weekend where he was inaccurate with the football. It was just he might have not seen a linebacker. He might have not seen the field quite as good. But, man, it just looked like there were so many times in that game where he was just looked like a completely different guy throwing the football, whether it was
that last throw to Zeke was a dime.
I mean, yeah, that one. But the one that stood out the most to me was the one that not a lot of people were talking about, is that it was an out route that he threw to Allen Hurns. It was like 14 yards that he, you know, floated over the linebacker.
The bearer here. We all know that he never throws that football if there's not an offsides, right?
Well, see, I initially thought so too, but I don't know if he noticed that there wasn't offsides.
He knew.
Well, see, I thought so too on the broadcast. I thought so too, but on the all 22 today, I looked at it from the end zone angle, and when the ball was hiked, I don't know. It's hard to tell, but most of the time when that ball's hiked and it's offsides, you can kind of like, you see them kind of like jump a little bit, like, give me the ball, let me get the ball out, because it's an offside, it's a free play. But I don't know. I'd love to ask him that, because it is a good – there was an offside, and it was kind of a – and like you said, there was multiple flags, but it wasn't a blatant – like the guy kind of jumped back as the ball was snapped. So it was close. It was very close. Yeah. I would love to know, because like you said, like that's a ball that you don't
and
see
I put
him
that,
throw.
And I put that in my gift thread that I did for the game. Those are the kind of throws that franchise quarterbacks make. And those are the kind of things that you would like to see. One where you're throwing the ball over the linebacker in front of the before the corner is able to break on the ball, to be able to know the pace to throw it was really nice. Now, Connor, I'm going to let you get to yours real quick, but I just really quickly want to talk about the target share here. Ezekiel Elliott got 4 targets, 4 receptions for 88 yards. Cole Beasley had 5 targets. Swaim had 5. Hearns had 5. And Gallup had 5. Tavon Austin had 1. Rod Smith had 1. And Rico Gathers got 1. Out of those targets, not a single one of those wide receivers that caught a pass had less than 10 yards per catch.
That's right. They threw the ball to they threw the ball.
Tavon Austin, who didn't get any yards on his reception, but they don't use him right, anyways.
No.
Oh yeah. Wait, no. No, Rod Smith. I apologize.
Yeah, Rod Smith caught the one there at the end was in the red zone. But, in my opinion, the most impressive throw he made in a very clutch spot, I'll say, is the sidearm ball he threw to Cole Beasley on the 20. I think it was the 20-yard line. It was 3rd and 10. They were only up by 3 at that point. They really couldn't settle for a field goal. Out of shotgun, gets the snap. Pressure kind of comes up the middle, so he slides to his right a little bit. When he slides to the right, the linebacker was lined up on the line of scrimmage as if he was going to blitz. He actually dropped back into coverage, but when he saw Dak slide to his right, the linebacker started to chase down Prescott, full head of steam going right at him. Prescott somehow sidearmed the football, threw it past his arm, through underneath his armpit, and got it to Beasley for a gain of about 9.5. Then they obviously ran the ball the next play, got the first down, and then they threw the touchdown to Jeff Swaim a few plays later. That was another play that just stood out to me because in the moment, 3rd and 10, how many times have we seen them convert on 3rd and long, especially down in the red zone, needing to get that conversion, needing to make a play? It just hasn't happened much this year, and he kind of came through in that clutch moment, needing to pick up 10. He picked up the 9.5, but he very well, in many moments there, either, threw the ball away, makes a bad pass, throws the ball inaccurately, but he, changes his arm angle, throws off his back foot, and throws a bullet to Cole Beasley for 9.5 yards. Just perfect throw, perfect catch, perfect play in that situation. And that was the one that stood out the most to me out of those, even out of all the deep balls that he threw. I thought that was the most impressive given the down and distance, given the, important spot in that game. He came through there, and that really kind of pulled him ahead and got him the touchdown that didn't necessarily win the game, but it put him up to the point where they were able to come back and still win the game. Y'all want to talk about the quarterback anymore or move on to the offensive line?
No, I mean, I want to bring it up because I've been I've been critical of Dak this year. And, he definitely had a much better game. I mean, there's still what Dak isn't good at is what Dak isn't good at. And those things aren't going to change. But when he has time to throw in the pocket, the confidence that you can see it in his body language when he is out there. He looks so much more confident and able to sit in the pocket.
Yeah, like what you said, what Dak isn't good at, he isn't good at. And I feel like the first 3 weeks it was that he's not an accurate quarterback. And I feel like that's just not the case. I feel like he's not Aaron Rodgers. We can't compare him there. You can't compare any quarterback in the NFL to Aaron Rodgers. I think when he has time, when he plays with confidence and poise, he can be a very accurate quarterback. That doesn't mean he's a spot on, just throws with great anticipation. That's not who he is. That's never who he's going to be. But he can be an accurate throwing quarterback in the NFL when he is confident, when he does have time, when he's in that rhythm. And that's something that I liked that they did. The first series, they came out, ran the ball 3 times, punted, and I was just like, okay, well, here we go again. The same old Cowboys offense. second series, they come out, they run the same old bootleg, play action bootleg to Jeff Swaim, except it worked this time. It got 31 yards. He got in a rhythm after that. Then the next few plays later, he hit Gallup for the deep ball. He got in a rhythm after that. And it seemed like from that point on, he was throwing with more confidence. Even the throws that I didn't like that he made, in tight coverage or, where I feel like he didn't see the cornerback was on the outside shoulder.
That hit.
Yeah, to Hurt. Was it Hearns?
Yeah.
I don't remember. That was bad.
Yeah, he almost threw a pick. But I don't mind that because
– Yeah.
I mean, again, it's a hitch, so I can't be like, okay,
But that's part of what Dak doesn't do well is he doesn't trust what's going to happen. He's got to see what is happening. And if he doesn't believe that he knows exactly where a guy is going to be coming out of his break, he doesn't throw it, and then those balls end up being a hair late. When they're a hair late at this level against a good corner, he's going to be able to jump it. That almost ended up being a pick in the red zone, and that would have been huge.
Oh, I agree.
He still played overall way better than he has in a very long time.
This team's just so much better when he plays. I was just saying, this team's so much better when he plays with confidence. It gets the whole team going in the right direction. He makes the plays he doesn't make when he's not confident. I just feel like this team reaches another level when he plays with that swagger.
And Dalton, the throw that you were talking about, the one I was talking about, again, I don't want you to think that I was saying that was a good throw or a good read. I was just saying I'd rather him, and maybe this isn't even worded right either, but that play wasn't open from the, even if he would have thrown with any anticipation or anything, because it was just covered from the start, and it was only
it wouldn't have been super open, but no. There, I mean, he would have still had a better chance.
But what I'm saying is in previous weeks, is instead of throwing that football, which it wasn't a good decision anyways, he was dropping his eye level and, you know, running into pressure. And I'd rather him almost, when he is playing with confidence, just try to rifle that ball in, even though it's not a good decision. It's not a good throw. It's not a good decision. I'd rather him do that than just run into pressure. Or in previous weeks when we saw that, and maybe in coverage, he would just run into the defensive tackle.
Let's talk about that running into pressure thing, because I'm looking at the GIF from that throw that you were talking about, the one to the sideline with Hearns.
Yep.
He ran straight towards the pressure on the right.
Well, hold on. Well, you're talking about the one. Wait, which one? Which one? What play are you talking about?
The one where he threw over the linebacker underneath the corner to Hearns on the sideline.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the one to Cole Beasley that I was talking about.
No.
I don't know. I'm not looking.
I'm talking about this one. Instead of doing a regular drop back, he ran to the right, and see, that's why I thought that he felt it was an offsides on the defense, because I thought that what he was gonna try to do was get to the outside, do a broken play, and have everybody try to go deep and make a play. But then he just stopped and threw the ball instead. Didn't look like it wasn't a normal drop back. It looked really funky when I saw it the first time. But anyways, real quick about the offense in general, they ran a lot of split zone yesterday, which I love for this offense, because it gives it. There's so many different things that you could do off of it. With the split zone, it can either be just a straight handoff, and you can have the tight end come across and hit that outside rusher, or you can have him go free. You can do it, make it a zone read, or you can run play action off of that and then make that defender make a decision whether to cover in the flat or cover the quarterback on the play action. So that is something that I really like. Plus, they're running inside zone off of it, and that's something that the Cowboys have blocked really well up to this point.
Yeah, I love when they do that split zone, you know, runs. And sometimes,
dude, it always works in Madden. Yeah, every single time. it's my go-to.
But I think what I liked the most from the offense was how much they ran play action under center, because we haven't seen that a whole lot of Dak Prescott under center.
Play action out of shotgun sucks. The best thing about play action is the quarterback is turning his entire body to the defense. That is what sells it.
Yeah, and they do it sometimes with like the bootlegs and stuff, but just straight play action, you know, you're not in 13 personnel running the boots and the waggles. You got, you know, you're in 11 personnel, you fake the handoff, you got receivers running down the field routes. It's so effective, especially when your running game's working like it did. And that running game really helped the defense, and that's where I wanted to talk about for a few minutes before we go to break, is the defense wasn't great on Sunday. They gave up some chunk plays. They had some blown coverages. They didn't create a ton of pressure outside of DeMarcus Lawrence, but what they did is they felt like when those clutch moments came up, DeMarcus Lawrence was getting the sack, or they were getting off the field. And that was important because of the way they ran the football, the way the offense kind of controlled the clock. What was disappointing was the big plays that they kept giving up, and I think you can turn to Jordan Lewis and man, it just, you feel so bad for that kid because he's gotten two snaps all year, and one of the two snaps was a missed tackle that resulted in a 50-some-yard touchdown, and it just...
It wasn't a missed tackle. He slipped.
Well, you get on the...
He missed the tackle, but he was never going to make that tackle after that slip. There was no way he was going to get to him. And I mean, that's a big play, but that play isn't as bad if Jeff Heath doesn't suck at life.
I know.
Totally bust that tackle.
But when you get two snaps in your first four games, and that's one of them, you just can't.
Yeah, you got to look better than that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like you said, it might not have been a missed tackle, but he slipped at the top of the route, which forced, you know, an easy completion, and then he completely took himself out of the tackle, which is, like you said, you just can't. You can't do that stuff, especially when you're battling for playing time and you're not getting any of it. You just have to make that play, and I feel so bad for him because he had such a good rookie year. This year, he's not even seeing the field, and then the times he does see the field, that happens.
I got a question for y'all.
Well, hold that question until we get back from break. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back, and we're going to answer Dalton's question. And we're back on the Talking the Star podcast. I'm your host, Connor Livesey. You can find me on Twitter at ConnorNFLDraft. I'm here with my co-host, Cole Patterson. You can find him on Twitter at Cole L. Patterson. And Dalton Miller. You can find him on Twitter at Cowboys_DBM. We are the Talking the Star podcast, hosted by Blogging the Boys, Vox Media, SB Nation. Thanks to those guys for doing this, letting us host this podcast, get it out to you guys' ears. Before we went to break, Dalton was going to propose a question. He didn't get to propose that question, so we're going to let him do that. We're going to answer his question, and then we're going to move on to some of the other news that has come out today about the Cowboys. Dalton, what do you got? Let's hear that question.
First off, hit that follow button on Twitter, y'all. For all three of us. I mean, Connor's takes are trash, but Cole and I are good.
So I agree.
The question is... If you are Jordan Lewis, and I forget who the other DB was at that point, but Golden Tate gets by you, and I think Heath was already on the ground. So, Golden Tate gets to the goal line, and he turns around, and he walks in. Do you take the chance of getting chewed out or cut the next day? And when he walks in like that, you just... Because Jordan Lewis was coming after him. He was coming hard. Do you wreck him in the end zone and take that 15-yard penalty and risk the ejection because you are not seeing the field after that play anymore?
It's gotta be tempting.
I love that your initial question started with your takes aren't trash, and then that is your next take.
No, this isn't a take. I was asking you guys questions.
I mean, dude, I don't know. Like, going back to what I was finished with before the break, I just feel so bad for him because he played so good his rookie year, third-round pick.
So good last season.
Comes in, you know, and again, Anthony Brown's playing well. He didn't play well on Sunday, but he has been playing well, so you can't fault the decision, but so much, and it's just two snaps.
It's been like a drastic fall off. He looked at like the team's best corner at times last year. Yeah. He was a third round pick. I think some had him in the first round.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for off field concerns, but he was really good. He was tested against Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, but I mean, he played pretty well for the majority of the season as a rookie, and it looked like he had a starting spot on lockdown. And then Chris Richard comes in, Anthony Brown improves, and it's like he's a forgotten man. And then Sunday really did not help his case at all.
And I mean, he just really doesn't fit Chris Richard's profile, what he wants in a corner. And I understand
that's
that.
That's true.
I wouldn't even mind if they shopped him. I love Jordan Lewis, but if you can get something for him, get something done. That last play isn't going to help, but I mean, I wanted to bring up about the defenses. Chidobe Awuzie's numbers look bad. Chidobe Awuzie did not play poorly.
Well, he was good.
got his head around.
He's been great coverage.
He was playing. Those wide receivers can ball.
I agree.
Dude, they are good. Galladay is a
playmakers. Yeah.
And you have Stafford, who will throw the ball into a window that's as tight as a laptop screen. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't matter. He takes those risks and he has the arm to do it. And Awuzie just couldn't quite get his head turned around. He played way better than he did last week, where he played kind of soft. But this week he was tough, and he just caught some tough luck. They don't even try Byron. I don't blame him. Byron looked phenomenal when I watched the All 22. LVE didn't have quite the game he did the week before, but he was all right. The defensive line didn't play as well this week.
Well, DeMarcus Lawrence did, but everybody else.
Yeah.
I actually think Tyron Crawford had a pretty good game too, just getting in the backfield.
But, yes, he did.
But other than that, it was Taco Charlton was, you know, not very, very good. Randy Gregory was disruptive at times, but then he just disappeared at times. They need David Irving back so bad, and that gives us real quick. If they don't pay DeMarcus Lawrence, I just don't understand. I can't do it anymore because that dude is a monster. I mean, he's always been. He's just dealt with injuries. He's dealt with, you know, some, obviously the one mishap on the suspension, but he is a freak. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the top five pass rushers in the NFL. Maybe that's a hot take, but I don't think it is.
It's not.
He's elite.
Even if he doesn't put up 15 sacks, he's one of the best run defenders.
Yep. He's just so disruptive in both aspects of football. Just defending the run, affecting the quarterback. He does both of them at an extremely high level, and you can't let those guys get out of your building. And I just hope this doesn't turn into a Khalil Mack situation like it did with the Bears and the Raiders. But
yeah.
Let's talk about David Irving. David Irving, I say he's rejoined the team, but he has been around the team the last couple of weeks. He's been in meetings. He's been in workouts. He hasn't been able to fully practice or, attend the games, but he has been able to be around the star, be around the team. So that is good news for a team who's lacking that number two pass rusher with Malik Collins out, with Antoine Woods possibly out. But David Irving should be back this week. I know there's been a lot of talk about maybe they'll just, you know, bring him along slowly and give him another week to prepare. If that's the case, they're fools because dude's a freak physically. Get him on the field. I mean, you're literally looking at pulling out, you know, Tyron Crawford and possibly, you know, Daniel Ross or Caron Reed as your starting defensive tackles next week against the Texans. And that Texans offensive line is atrocious. So if there's a week for David Irving to come back, maybe not at full go, this is the week to do it because he can still be disruptive. He can still affect the quarterback. And it's a good welcome back week for him because he can cause some real problems for that Houston offensive line. And I think he can do a lot of damage this week, even if he's not 100% the David Irving that we saw last year. So I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on David Irving and how much he can affect and impact this defense's performance moving forward. I'll start it off with Cole. What do you think? Is he going to be a huge difference maker, or is he just going to be a guy that helps a little bit? Where do you see him fitting in?
He definitely has the potential to be a huge difference maker. I'm interested in seeing, because he didn't go through training camp, obviously. He wasn't here for the first four games. It looks like he's in shape, judging by the tweet that Bobby Belt posted yesterday, but I'm interested to see how well he will adjust, if he's up to game speed. If he's up to game speed, I believe he can make a big impact as soon as this Sunday. He has the size. We saw last year when he came back and against the Packers, he took over that game tearing parts and was all over Aaron Rodgers. So I think it can make a big impact, especially with the season that DeMarcus Lawrence is already off to. He obviously dominated Detroit, and this team does need somebody else to step up at defensive tackle, so he should have the opportunities to do just that.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to see a guy with his physical traits but move the way he does, disrupt the pocket exactly. the way he does. And like I said, I think the most important thing is if you were going against, you know, I say Philadelphia just because their offensive line's, you know, pretty good, but you'd obviously want him to play against Philadelphia. But if you were going against a stout offensive line, maybe you'd hold his hand along a little bit slower. But since you're just going against a bad offensive line with a young quarterback who doesn't perform well under pressure, mm-hmm. you're crazy not to just say, hey,
just let him loose.
We're going to give you 25 snaps. Give me everything you got in those 25 snaps. And Dalton, I was going to turn it to you. Say, you know, are you holding him on a snap count? Or are you letting him go, you know, fully? What are your expectations? What are your thoughts on his playing time this weekend?
So apparently he's looked pretty good. Physically, he looks okay. I mean, he came kind of out of shape when he first came to camp, when he finally did show up. But apparently all of that is well now. I don't expect him to have a full workload this week, but to get the chance to go against this offensive line, especially when the Texans already can't run the football, which is something that David Irving isn't the greatest at, run defense. I think that this is the best time. Like, if it's another team, yeah, let him sit out, let him come through and you know, play just pass rushing downs. But yeah. I think that you can work him in and kind of run him into shape this week without really having to worry about him being a burden due to, you know, the offensive line actually being able to hold him up, because they really can't do any of that for anybody. That they're what? They've given up 17 sacks already. Sean Watson's back there getting killed.
Yeah.
Get David Irving to push that pocket in right into Deshaun Watson's face, and guess what? This defense will finally get a freaking interception.
Dude, that's a good
point. Is this
point.
The week?
This is – if they
Are
don't
you
get
your
this
shot?
Week – hot take already. If they don't get an interception this week, they ain't getting one all year.
Well, dude, I thought the same thing last week because Stafford's been throwing the
they
ball.
They play Eli again.
Yeah, but they didn't even come close. Gosh, man. I just don't understand.
Chance.
That's something we're going to have to talk about soon. We don't have time to do it today, but if this defense wants to be great, if they want to be a top 5 defense, they have to start getting turnovers. They just
I agree.
There's no great defense that just doesn't get turnovers. I mean, it's not.
Mm-hmm. And even,
even if they weren't getting interceptions, you know, teams force fumbles, they get that good bounce, and that's just not happening. Like, they're not forcing fumbles, they're not getting their, you know, they're not getting the interceptions. They have to start doing that. You know, they have to make some plays on special teams. I'll even include that in defense. If you're going to be an elite defense, you know, it's not the same unit, but sometimes you can compare, you know, the defense and the special teams as the same unit. They just have to do something, you know, block a punt, block a kick, do something on that side of the ball that shows, mm-hmm. you know, we're here, we're elite, and we haven't seen it yet. But I did want to go over the injuries real quick. You know, kind of, we don't have an injury report yet, but we are aware of a couple guys who are a little bit banged up. The big one is Ezekiel Elliott. He left that game with a sore knee, a sore ankle. He took a beating in that game, and you know, it's something where he's going to be banged up. He carried the ball a lot. He did a lot of blocking. He caught 4 passes. He got beat up. I don't think it's going to be anything that holds him out. I think it's kind of going to be a limited practice week for him and then a play on Sunday night. Luckily, that game is on Sunday night, so he does almost get a full other day to recover. Instead of it being a 1 o'clock game where he's got to wake up early, get to the field, start working out, he does get almost a full extra day of recovery because it is a Sunday night game. The other ones that we're aware of is Antoine Woods. He has a calf injury that's kind of a maybe a week-to-week injury more than a day-to-day injury, so he might be missing this week, which we heard that would happen last week, but we know how tough he is. He came back and played. Obviously, he got hurt again, so maybe they'll give him a week or two to rest to get back to 100%. Jeff Heath also took a beating in the Lions game. He got hit
Good
by,
God, did he ever.
He got hit by a Mack truck. Kerryon Johnson Mack truck that just, it looked like it hurt him all the way from emotionally to physically, and he definitely looked a little banged up after that, but those are the three that I'm aware of. Tavon Austin got banged up in that game, but he did come back. I think his feelings got hurt more than anything. But outside of that, it didn't look like there was a ton of serious injuries. I wouldn't expect Sean Lee to play again this week, but is there anyone that you guys are more so worried about than the other, or anyone that I left off that you guys know about that could be slated to not play this week? Dalton?
I heard Travis Frederick still isn't back, so kind of worried about that. No, that brings me to a good point. Joe Looney was the leader on that screen for the touchdown, so Fat Joe is doing some good work.
Good
Dude,
to see.
So, watching the All-22, Joe Looney looked good. That last, the fumble recovery that Dak had, the incompletion, Deshaun Hand crushed Joe Looney on that play. I literally cannot believe that they recovered that ball and there wasn't a negative play involved.
Dude, shout out to Dak for the heady play there to pick the ball up and get it thrown.
Is that a heady play?
That was huge.
I mean, is that a heady play though, or is that like the exact opposite thing they teach you to do in that situation?
What else is he gonna do?
Well, they normally teach you to just fall on it, but I guess he was just like, "Well,
no,
if I fall."
But in that situation, where you literally need to score points on this drive, you have to try to pick that up.
I agree. It's just the normal fumble recovery drills.
I absolutely agree with you. But in this situation, he did the perfect thing, and it was crazy.
That was, I got a tail of the tape coming out this week. And that was a play that I highlighted. I call it the miraculous incompletion. There's always a miraculous catch, something like that. But that play literally—I mean, you can say it won you the football game, because if you don't recover that, or if you just fall on it, it's like 3rd and 22 is kind of what I measured it out to be. And there's just no way they're picking up a first down after that. So, what a crazy play. But I thought the offensive line played well, given, the one or two little miss blocks or something like that. They played well. I thought Connor Williams had a really good game. I thought Joe Looney was good, other than that one play. Tyron was, back to his old self. Lyle Collins looked phenomenal. Zach Martin looked like the all-pro we're all used to seeing. So that was a great game by the offensive line and a much better game by the offense as a whole. Talking about the offense, speaking of the offense, what's up with Dez? Isn't a thing. I'm going on record right now to say this isn't a thing, but he made it a thing today.
This is fetch.
He made it a thing today, so we got to talk about it. Cole, what's going on? There's no way he's coming back to Dallas, right?
He kind of seems like, the ex that still has feelings. Like you can tell he wants to play for Dallas, but it's just not going to happen. I don't really see any way they bring him back anytime soon. I don't think there's anything to it. It's an interesting story, but I can't see it happening. I just don't see how he makes this team any better. You could probably argue it makes it worse, so I don't see the benefit.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, if you think, I just don't understand how anybody can look at what we saw from Dez last year, and I think Dez is a good player, and think he's changing this offense. His style of play fits with certain teams and can make certain teams better, but that is just not the case here. It's just, and again, he literally,
I'm just trying to see how he helps.
He literally called out his teammates and called them liars and snake. That just doesn't work. You just don't bring that guy back.
I want to see the interaction between Snake Lee and Dez Bryant in the locker. How would that go?
So I heard today that right after all that happened, he called every single person individually and apologized for what he said. Here's what we have to realize with Dez, is that when things happen, the first thing he does is react. Dez Bryant doesn't think about anything before it happens. It just happens. And then afterwards, he sits back and goes, well, maybe I shouldn't have done that. There's nothing that Dez Bryant loves more than the Dallas Cowboys. That's evident with how loyal he is trying to be right now. He loves his football team. After they cut him, he has not taken any other offers because he wants to be a Dallas Cowboy. He was getting himself ready to play football. He was not ready to play at the beginning of this year. Thinks he is now. If the Cowboys don't have him back in the next couple weeks, we'll probably see him on another football team. But I think that he wants to be on this team. And my hot take is that if he doesn't get back on this football team, I don't think he comes back, man. He loves this team more than anything in the world.
This season or at all?
Ever.
Yeah, I mean, really? if he doesn't play this season, he's not going to play. I
can't imagine he plays.
Just
ever again.
Another year, he's older, you know.
Yeah.
Out of football shape. I think it's this year or it's nothing. And I do think that his goal is to get healthy, to interact with some teammates, with Jalen Smith, with the owner, Jerry Jones, and just try to wiggle his way back in here. And does it work? Mm-hmm. I don't see how it can, but yeah. I mean, it's a story. You know, he pretty much admitted today that the reason he isn't playing football is because he wants to play with the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge. I mean, you have to know that even though Jerry Jones isn't the man running the show anymore, contrary to what some people try to tell you, that the man who used to run the show is gonna be talking about it, whether you think he will or not. He's gonna, you know, say, man, did we mess up? Maybe he doesn't do it out loud, maybe he does it in his bedroom or in his head, but he's gonna be going, should we bring him back? We can get him back probably pretty cheap, right? He is the leader. He is the, you know, the guy who catches the most touchdowns in Cowboys history. You know, he is a freak in the red zone. So it's something to keep an eye on and talk about, but I just can't see how it happens.
I just don't see how it happened.
Exactly. We're going to take a brief break, come back, and we're all three going to give a player who has surprised us either in a negative or positive way to finish out the Talking the Start podcast. We'll be right back after a quick break. And we're back on the Talking the Star podcast. I'm your host, Connor Livesey. Follow me on Twitter at ConnorNFLDraft. You can follow my co-host on Twitter, Cole Patterson at Cole L. Patterson, and Dalton Miller at Cowboys_DBM. We're here the last segment, last few minutes, to give you a player on the Dallas Cowboys that has surprised us so far this year, whether in a positive, whether in a negative way. We're each going to give you a player and touch on why and how that player has surprised us. I'm going to start it off with Cole. Cole, who's your player that has surprised you?
Yeah, I don't know if a first-round pick qualifies as a surprise, but I have been pleasantly surprised by Leighton Vander Esch through the first four games of this season. I was one of the many that weren't too excited about the pick back in April. I felt like we could have gotten better value with the 19th pick. I felt like there were better players on the board. I mean, look at, for example, Calvin Ridley. He was just one of the players that I liked. But yeah, Vander Esch, he's played very well these past few games. He didn't do anything earth-shattering against the Lions, but he did have five tackles. He had some nice plays. He had tackles in space. He's just been very impressive. Back in week two, we were all talking about how impossible it was to bring Saquon Barkley down in the open field, and it seemed like LVE was the one guy that was able to do that. His quickness from sideline to sideline, his ability to make tackles in the open field, and that's really been surprising, or not surprising, I say, but just pleasant to see, especially with Sean Lee out. We need a linebacker that can do those kind of things, that can make plays. So I would say Sean Lee is my pick. I've been impressed with him. Or Vander Esch.
I was about to say, what?
Yeah, LV, my bad.
All right, Dalton, who you got? Who's your surprise?
Oh, a linebacker in the Cowboys.
My surprise is Byron Jones. And my surprise is Byron Jones, because
that's a good pick.
There were literally people who have been trying to run that man out of town. And then we hear, oh, he's going to move to corner. Oh, yeah, he played corner in college. Never, ever forget, Cowboys fans, that your favorite team played this man at safety for 3 years. Whether it was out of need or not, this whole time, we had a lockdown corner on our hands.
Mm-hmm.
We had a, you know, who I thought was a half-decent safety. There are things that he obviously didn't do well. He's not the most physical of guys, but this dude is a stud, an absolute star, the best cornerback in the league right now. Not saying that he is the best, but he is playing the best right now. This week is going to be huge, because what did I just say about him? His knock is that he is not tough. Look who he is going to be going up against at times this upcoming week. Nook. And if there's anybody who is going to beat him, it's going to be Nook. So we'll see how that goes. I think he's completely balled out. We saw that the Lions didn't even want to look his way. Didn't target him a single time in coverage. So that's how impressive he's been. It's been really, really fun to watch him grow.
Yeah, you can't even, you know, argue anything you said. Like you said, he might not be the number one corner in the NFL, but he's playing the best football right now. You know, people are going away from him in you know, coverage, and that's just, that says so much about the player. My surprise, it's kind of a boring one, but I'm going to have to go with Brett Maher. You just look who he's coming in for. Dan Bailey, one of the most accurate kickers of all time. He comes in, he misses his first field goal. The sky's falling. You know, everyone's an idiot. But after that, he's been, you know, just about as money as it can be. You know, there's been some, you know, misses here and there. You know, not misses, but just, you know, some questionable kicks here and there that you kind of were, oh, that's going left, it comes back in, it's going right, it comes back in. But when you look at what he has done since that miss, it's been huge. He made that kick that won you the game, which I know it was only a 37-yarder, I think it was. If that's wrong, don't quote me on it, I'm sorry. But still not a gimme, and he just comes in so much poise, you know, so much just you know, great poise that a lot of kickers don't have. And he's come in since that miss and done a really good job, and I think he deserves a ton of credit for coming in, filling in for a guy who's been money his whole career and not really missing a beat other than the first kick of his career. So I have to give him a lot of credit. I think he's been quite the surprise, someone I didn't think who would come in and play to the level that he's played at. But yeah, that's all we got for today. We're out of time.
It was a 38-yarder.
38. I said 37. But hey, that's not a gimme, especially with all that pressure, with knowing, hey, this is my first chance to make or break it, and he nailed it.
Especially if he would have missed it, the Joneses would have had to go to South America.
Yep. But that's all we got for today. We're out of time. Thanks for hanging out. Cowboys win a game. They're 2-2. They head into this week against a underperforming Houston Texans team, hoping to get back to 3-2, get back to the division lead for sure. But yeah, thanks for hanging around with us. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes, on Android. Follow us on Twitter at TalkingTheStar. Follow me on Twitter at ConnorNFLDraft. Follow Dalton on Twitter at Cowboys_DBM. Follow Cole on Twitter at Cole L. Patterson. Thanks to Blogging the Boys, Vox Media, SB Nation for putting us through the airways. Thanks, guys. We're Talking the Star, and we'll see you guys on Friday.
I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.